How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, March 18th, 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamma. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
I'm glad you're here with me. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Kelly.
Hey.
Hi, John. Hey, Brian. What's up?
We're really scraping the bottom of the barrel today. We don't really have a lot to talk about. We have new iPads for everyone, for people who did not see the press release. We got a press release this morning, and the press release says, hey, guess what? We have new iPads. So, Brian, can you kind of take us through this?
Oh my God, seriously?
Yeah?
Sure, let me actually try to wing this really, really, really hard. It's got a LiDAR detector on the back, so that yes. When a LiDAR plane is flying above you, stripping the vegetation away so that we can see the ancient Mayan ruins below ground, then you'll know to look up and wave.
Oh, cool. That'll be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So okay. For the physicists in the crowd, LiDAR is light detection and ranging, just as radar is radio detection and ranging.
For the hold on. The physicists knew that. For the physicists in the crowd, Brian doesn't know what he's talking about. That's the correct message to physicists. That's not why the LiDAR sensor is on this thing, but it does have a LiDAR sensor on the back. Hopefully John can actually explain to us why we actually want a LiDAR sensor on the back of this thing.
That's my first question.
I think an extra, is that right? Is it an extra camera? Extra lens? Yeah, it's got two lenses on the back, right?
Yes.
Then the LiDAR scanner, right.
Yeah, so it's basically the iPhone 11 camera layout, it kind of looks like.
As opposed to the 11 Pro.
Right, which has the, well, oh no, it looks like the Pro layout. Because it's got the third lens, yeah. So...
Right.
It's still the square on the back with three things, but that third one is not the lens, it's the LiDAR scanner.
Yeah, which so it does means look like the Pro. Fantastic case that I have that I love is not going to work.
It is not.
Unless I take an X-Acto knife to it.
And we also have
The horrors, X-Acto knife.
We also have a Pro Audio, it says, with studio quality mics. We don't know. I don't know much about
five microphones. Apple says that it does studio quality miking, and as Kelly says, we don't actually know what that means yet. It has the A12Z Bionic chip with an 8-core GPU, and I'm quoting Andrew's write-up: enhanced thermal architecture and tuned performance controllers. Again, I don't know really what that means.
Is it an A13X?
It's an A12Z.
A12Z.
Z.
And it has an 8-core CPU as well. The A12Z is 8 cores, and it also has the neural engine for machine learning stuff.
Yes.
And what's the difference between an A something something X and an A something something Z?
Apple's designation, as
far
as I know.
That's a good question. I don't know. We ever had a Z processor in anything before.
Yeah, Apple has always used the X. So in the previous generation, I believe it was
A12X.
It was the A12X. So, and what is in the 11? Is it the 13? Is the A13?
I think so. Let's see.
We are prepared.
yes.
I just don't remember what the
iPhone 11 is an A13.
I thought it was a 13.
So interestingly, they didn't go 13X to John's original question. They went 12Z.
Yeah, the X is enhanced graphics for the iPad's larger display. And typically that comes out after the first version. So you have the iPhone. It's like A12 in the fall, and then you have an iPad later, like A12X with enhanced graphics cores for large screen graphics. But the Z, we got to find out what that is. Yeah. So I have a bee in my bonnet about this whole ad campaign. You ready for me to unload?
Let's get to that first, though, John.
Okay.
Let's get to the thing that is buzzing in your bonnet, because Apple is also pushing the a new Magic Keyboard. They've used that name before, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The one on your desk.
On the Magic desk. Keyboard. Yeah. Actually, like, if you heard me typing here, I've got a Magic Keyboard in front of me. But this Magic Keyboard is for the iPad Pro. Why would they do that? Why would they call it? Okay. All right. So it's for the iPad Pro and it has a built-in trackpad.
Yes. And it works with the previous iPad Pro, I believe. I think I saw somewhere that that was compatible with the current, as of yesterday, iPad Pro.
It greatly moves forward the idea of the iPad Pro, and I'm just winding up that B.
Yes,
iPad Pro being a laptop replacement, having a built-in input device, and more importantly, support for that built-in input device to trackpad,
which is coming with iPadOS 13.4, which was another sort of side announcement in this announcement of the new iPads, that iPadOS 13.4 includes full trackpad support. And with that, John, tell us about your B.
Well, while you guys were talking, I decided that my B is really more oriented towards those of us who are Mac aficionados and experience with the Mac. I think there was a meeting where Apple said, you know, the iPad has come a long way with the hardware. What's holding it back? And what's holding it back is the ability to treat it like a computer with a trackpad and cursor control and more attention to the user interface, and hence iPad OS and the evolution of that. So, my first reaction was that Apple was muddying the message about the difference between a Mac and an iPad. We were harking back to the famous commercial with the kid in the lawn. Hey, mom, what's a computer? But I can see how Apple needs to do something to boost the sales. It's just the problem is that it's, for a lot of people, it's sending a mixed message. The iPad isn't there yet. The iPad, in terms of competing with a Mac, there's still a boatload of things you can do on a Mac you can't do on an iPad. But the marketing campaign is not designed to present the fact that the iPad can replace a Macintosh, but it can be your next computer for limited things you want to do. And assuming you want to start off in an iPad world and not, you know, jump to a Mac Pro for $13,000. So I can kind of see what they're trying to do. It's just that for a long time, Tim Cook has been talking about how, you know, we love the Mac. We don't think they're going to merge. We're not going to have a Mac with a touchscreen. The Mac has its own place. And then they come along and they say the iPad is your next computer. You got to really understand the nuance of what they're trying to get at and who their market is and who they're talking to. I think they're talking to millennials and younger. And for us graybeards who are listening to this message, we're going, iPad ain't no computer like a Mac is a computer.
But it is an increasingly computer replacement for a lot of people.
Yes. Yes.
And really, it's for what value?
Additional message.
Yeah. For what value of computer?
I don't think that Apple making iPad Pro better is somehow a threat to the Mac. And I don't think it runs contrary to the idea that Apple is like, you know, like, yeah, it turns out we remember this Mac thing and we love it that you mentioned, John. I mean, the two can exist side by side without threatening the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Possibly. Okay. It can also, like, we did see the Mac being ignored for years.
Yes.
But right now, we do still see better Macs coming out. The Mac Mini was updated today.
That's true.
Sort of updated today. The MacBook Air was updated today.
Yes, and we will have a discussion of that tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we will have that to talk about tomorrow.
So there's really the end of the sentence has been left off. Your next computer, if this is the kind of computer that does the job for you.
Well, and you know, John, I think part of that is I don't think it's necessarily 100% millennials and, you know, young people like you're talking about, because if you go to apple.com/iPad right now, at the top in giant letters, it says iPad Pro. And right underneath that, in slightly smaller letters, it says your next computer is not a computer. And I think
that's the part that upsets me.
I know. But why? I think part of that is the technological, the thing that I talk about all the time and being technologically honest. If you bought a computer, you know, that big box with the giant TV hooked up to it that sits in the kitchen or whatever, and you use that to look at Facebook sometimes and check some email sometimes, and maybe you do some banking on it sometimes. If that's all you're doing with a computer, you can do that with an iPad. And I've upgraded more than one person from whatever their laptop was or whatever their desktop machine was to an iPad, which did everything that they needed it to do, and they could take it with them when they went on vacation. And so I think for a lot of people, it's sort of getting out of that box of like, I have to have a computer to do computer things. And Apple's just trying to sort of change that definition.
Yeah, but it sort of panders to anti-intellectualism, and that's kids in school need to embrace the next step. I've written before at the Mac Observer about how iPads are great for K-12.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into college and all of a sudden they ask you to start writing Python code.
Yeah.
Or doing something more complicated with the shell script in your Unix class, and all of a sudden your iPad doesn't cut it anymore.
Well, I would think if you were going to take a Unix class, you wouldn't think you could take it on your iPad. That's just a theory, though.
Well, I mean,
who's buying an iPad for a Unix class, man?
Well, you don't. That's my point.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I accept your apology.
You missed my point.
And I'm also a jerk.
Saying your next computer is not a computer is just trying to say, well, you know, for all you people out there for computers.
That's not aimed at the guy taking the Unix class or the girl taking the Unix class. That message is not aimed at them.
Well, as I said earlier in the show, you got to put all this in context and understand the target market. But to tell kids that it's okay to buy this device because it's a computer that's not really a computer, it's like saying, oh, that means I don't have to really understand computers. I don't have to do any programming. It's so much fun.
I'm going to go. Hold on, Brian. I'm going to go die on this hill. I disagree with you, John. And part of that is because I think that there are a lot of older people who think that they have to have a full-on computer to do exactly the things that I just told you about. And that is not necessarily true. And, you know, the people that I upgraded to an iPad from an old computer, whether it was an old Mac or an old Windows machine, were all older people.
Okay. I got to dig a trench next to John on the side of this hill.
Okay.
And that trench is that Apple also talks about how everybody can code.
Yes.
And Apple is constantly pushing coding. So, there is definitely one of the things I've said for a long time is that I wasn't worried about the Mac because it turns out that Apple's own employees need to code and need to do, you know, high end graphics that often involve mice and trackpads and
external GPUs
and keyboards and external GPUs, et cetera. So I really wasn't worried about the Mac in the long term. And then, of course, Apple started making Macs again. And that was really cool. But to John's point, with Apple's constant coding message, the iPad Pro is not a computer replacement for people who are serious about coding.
That's true.
And John does have a point there. And where I'm particularly thinking about is because he mentioned kids, and then I was like a jerk, and he's right, because a lot of their coding stuff is aimed at kids.
That's
and
valid.
A lot of their education stuff is aimed at iPads.
Mm-hmm.
So Apple needs to beef up its coding abilities on the iPad Pro because the machine is powerful enough to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to make it more of a machine that can be coded on, especially for kids learning how to code.
Yes.
More than is Playgrounds is available, isn't it? On
yes.
iPad?
Yes.
Yeah, more than
Playgrounds. I can have some color on that. At my wife's college, they had an Apple representative come in and do a Playgrounds presentation. And my wife's reaction was, who teaches Python to college students? She said, this is not going to cut it. This is more fun oriented. This is not really teaching kids the theory and the practice and the art of coding and solving problems. This is more like, hey, look how much fun this is.
That's how you hook them.
If it's not
as a person who has taught coding to middle schoolers, I'm here to tell you, that's how you hook them. You make it something fun and you make it something interesting. And oh, by the way, you accidentally learned some basic coding principles.
The problem is that the people who get hooked are not prepared to take the next intellectual step to the really hard work of learning how to code.
I fundamentally disagree.
In the real world.
Do 100% of them go on to be computer scientists? Do 100% of people who download?
She bends my ear all the time about how the kids are having trouble. Because they think coding, they sign up for the Python class and they think, oh, this is going to be fun.
Uh-huh.
And then they actually have to know some mathematics and they have to actually know some coding principles and they have to apply some mental logic and they have to solve problems and write code and declare variables and build a structure. And it's
come on, man. That's college kids everywhere, though, on everything.
That's you're asking a kid to stretch their brain and that's never going to be fun for any kid anywhere ever. Do I think that 100% of people who download Swift Playgrounds are people who are going to go on to become computer scientists? Absolutely not. But
I'm a computer scientist. I'm just talking about a journeyman programmer for Whole Foods, you know, doing inventory management.
But if you try and you give it a shot and it looks like something interesting and you do find it really fun and it's a thing that you want to pursue, there should be a smoother path than there is from Playgrounds to Xcode. I 100% agree on that. And I do think that you should be able to do more than just move the little blobby dude around on the screen in Playgrounds. And in some cases you can. Yeah. People can build their own. There are ways that you can subscribe to Playgrounds if people update them regularly and nobody knows about any of that stuff because nobody's using it. So the only reason I know about any of that stuff is
for the idea. You'd be surprised how many kids fall for the idea that if it's easy, it's going to always be easy.
Well, I can't help that. That's not Apple's problem to solve. Yeah. But
I mean, like, and I think that the thing that you described there is probably describes a whole lot of college kids for a whole lot of decades,
for a whole lot of disciplines,
getting into college and like, oh, wait a minute, this turns out this is hard. I mean, I think that's kind of the human nature, is the human condition.
To kind of wrap things up, in the best of all possible worlds, I would wish that Apple would be able to advertise the emerging capability and power of the iPad without being so mealy-mouthed about how it's not a computer. That's all I wish for. I wish for something more imaginative, something that excites me.
What's a computer anyway, like, John? What is a computer? just pushing buttons, man.
On his computer.
John's winding up.
John's a computer. It's me. It's me.
What did I say? Pushing buttons on his computer. So
it's what I'm talking to you on now.
Well, you know, there's that too. I think that's valid. I carry one around in my pocket all day.
I'm going to get an 11-inch iPad Pro, and I'm going to get the Magic Keyboard too.
That sounds amazing. The keyboard is not available until May, what I saw.
I'm talking to you on a 2013 Mac Pro. What are you talking to me on?
iMac 2019.
And Kelly, what are you talking to me on?
2015 MacBook Pro.
Because I got serious work to do, man.
So what? I was just going to say, why are we using iPads?
Well, I know why I'm not using an iPad, and it's because in order to record the podcast the way I want to record it, I can't use my iPad to do it.
I know.
And I can't use the new one to do that either, even though it comes with what they call studio quality microphones, and we don't know what that means. So we will tell you more about that as soon as we find out more. And we're going to go ahead and call it there for today. I want to thank both of you for being here today. John, thanks for coming by, even though you're wrong.
My pleasure to be wrong, but I'm right. Thanks.
I love how you believe that so much. Okay, Brian.
Because I'm a computer.
I know. It's because it's a binary. Everything's a binary system to you. I understand.
That's a logical thing to do, Kelly.
Brian, thanks so much for coming by.
Yep, thanks for having us, and I appreciate both of you not calling me out for poo-pooing John and then agreeing with him.
Well, you did it yourself, so I didn't have to. Save me the trouble.
Yeah, okay. All right, fair enough.
All right. You may be able to notice, listeners, that I'm slowly losing my voice. So, again, hopefully I will talk to you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.